Welcome to Senior Focus. I'm Bert Cron, and thanks for tuning into the program. Joining me on Senior Focus today is Amy Carrick, the founder of Carrick Consulting and a certified senior advisor and dementia specialist. And Amy, thanks for joining us on Senior Focus.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Amy, today we want to talk about a growing problem among the senior population, and that is the problem of financial exploitation of seniors, or we could say the scamming of seniors, or also known as senior fraud. When we say financial exploitation of seniors or scamming of seniors, what do you mean exactly?
Well, any time that there's a financial decision that's made based on threats, someone's got pressure on them, or they've received misleading information that isn't in their best interest.
Now, when exploitation does happen, it's done for lots of reasons, and it's not just by professional crooks, per se.
You're correct. It's, family and friends can also do it, whether they mean to or not. And it's not because the seniors are in the wrong group of people. It's because they tend to be separated a little more than they would at a younger age. And it's not because they're not educated, but they just don't have that current fact on the kind of things that are happening out there. And because they're generous and they want to take care of themselves. They don't want to admit that they don't know everything that somebody that is more in tune might know.
Mm-hmm. And I know from fact is my folks are very generous folks, and seniors tend to be a more giving people.
Absolutely.
What are some studies that you have come across that sort of bear out this problem?
Well, unfortunately, there are very few. But one that came out last year, which I think is a great one, focused on, and it was sponsored by both the medical community as well as financial planners. And that particular survey or study looked at both the seniors as well as their adult children. Mm-hmm. And basically what that concluded was that between 20 and 60% have been exploited or had an attempt at some kind of fraud within the last year. So, you know, that's quite a bit. And, you know, AARP says that 40% of scams that are out there or, you know, violations against seniors are specifically financial.
Well, what kind of scams are there specifically targeted towards seniors?
Well, let me tie that in with some real-world examples right here in the area. And one of them is called phishing, and it's P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. Mm-hmm. And that involves either phone calls or emails. And one specific one that occurred last year was there was a man arrested right in Greenville County for taking advantage of someone via email and had convinced this woman that she was going to get huge sums of money if she would do some certain things, including giving him some money as kind of funding to help it happen. Hmm. Anytime that kind of thing happens, anytime you're asked for money in advance, that's a red flag. And
sure.
If it doesn't feel right, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Another type of scam, which is just in the last month or so, there was someone convicted here in Greenville who had been doing the other kind of phishing, the F-I-S-H-I-N-G.
Mm-hmm.
And he also involved, his case also involved doing some counterfeiting. And what he was doing was going to the mailboxes in front of various post offices. You'd think those are safe.
Sure.
But he was taking a fishing line and taking people's bills out of the mailboxes, taking them home, and washing them with basic acetone that you could buy. You know, it's nail polish remover.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was putting his own name on the checks and cashing them for larger sums of money than originally intended. And that, as I said, happened right here in Greenville.
Now, what other kinds are there? I know probably phone solicitation is one of the big ones.
It is. And, you know, nationwide we've got a case right now where people's email addresses were taken, but they can turn that into phone numbers depending on where your email's located. And because it was tied into some banks and some other very credible places that people shop, those people could be more succinctly focused rather than kind of grasping at straws and trying to get information, they can call you up and sound more credible. And so we want to be careful on what you answer over the phone or via email. If someone contacts you, know that they're contacting you. If you, for example, call the bank and say, I need information on such and such, you know you've contacted your own bank.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone calls you and says that they are your bank, there's lots of questions you want to ask.
Sure.
And, you know, one very simple one is, can you confirm for me what the balance is in my checking account? Because most people have a pretty good idea on what it is.
Mm-hmm.
If they can't confirm that for you, they're not the bank.
Yeah.
You know, and then you've got, you know, scams like the grandparent scam, which, again, plays on people caring about others.
Mm-hmm.
And there's several examples that have floated around, and I've heard recently that they've floated literally through some retirement communities. And they'll call one room, and then they'll call the next room, and they'll work their way down the row to see if they can get someone to bite.
Hmm.
And one very good example of that is a woman who got a phone call, and the person said that they were her grandson, and they wanted her to send them money because they were in jail. And they gave her some other facts, like, I was on a fishing trip with my buddies in Canada, and they used some profane language that were red flags for her. She knew it wasn't her grandson because he was recently married and the son of a minister. So she kind of had some idea that this really wasn't him.
Sure.
Even though she may not have been able to hear real well, and there's other reasons why she might have fallen for it. But the challenge on that particular scam was they kept calling. She told them she knew it wasn't him, and they were persistent. They were trying to wear her down.
Hmm.
So that's an extreme case.
Sure.
But they're finding those names to make those kinds of phone calls by looking at obituaries.
Wow.
They're finding out who the grandchildren are, and a lot of times grandparents don't talk to their grandchildren every week or even every month, especially if they're off at college or somewhere like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can happen that they've got these facts. And remember, someone may have passed away, you know, a couple of months ago, but that information is still out on the Internet for somebody to research today and make a phone call.
Wow. Of course, one other one that you have mentioned was the sort of the Nigerian, or maybe there's other countries involved as well, but that's sort of how they're labeled.
Right, and that one I alluded to a little bit earlier, but the key facts around that are you're going to get all this money from a long-lost relative who needs to get it out of the country.
Mm.
And in the particular case of the man that was arrested here in Greenville, he had convinced this woman that she needed to spend thousands of dollars on equipment to take the black paint off the money when it got here.
Hmm.
Because they had to paint it black in order to get it out of the country.
Wow.
And that was when the red flag went up.
Sure.
She was already out thousands of dollars by helping him set this whole thing up.
Mm-hmm.
She thought she was doing the right thing and helping this family out, when in reality, he was funding his retirement,
mm-hmm.
you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
He was taking money blindly from her.
Well, let's sort of shift gears here just a bit, and let's talk about ways that seniors can protect themselves against these different types of scams.
Well, interestingly enough, that ties into a couple of things. One, the doctors that helped fund that one study I talked about,
mm-hmm.
what they're doing, and hopefully it's reaching some of our medical community here, but what they're asking the doctors to do is start to ask some probing questions. They are a trusted advisor to many of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can ask a few questions of seniors and really help identify when there's a problem. And they can't solve that problem necessarily, but they can look at the person and say, you need to get your family involved.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever it is. Because we are, especially the older generation, they tend to be very private about money. This is one way we might be able to uncover some of that. But the key is to recognize where there are pitfalls, when somebody appears to be misrepresenting themselves, if they are selling you something that's uninsured or if they're not bonded, there's a lot of flags there. And do not be afraid to ask questions. It is your right as a client to know, you know, with a financial, you know, if you're doing investments, to know what the person that's going to create this investment for you is making. You have a right to know what their benefit is to having you as a client.
It never hurts to ask lots of questions, as you say.
Absolutely.
Well, now, how about protecting yourselves as far as disposing of bills and things that you may be throwing away that might have financial information on them?
Well, bottom line is, if it's got your name on it or any other piece of information as well, is shred it. And if you can't shred it, take it somewhere that does have shredding capability. A lot of people will take materials like that from you know, small quantities, obviously.
Sure.
But you also, you know, to my point about the one man that was taking bills out of mailboxes in front of the post office, take your mail inside. Don't ever put it, if you're mailing something out, don't put it in your own mailbox. And if you do have to put it in your own mailbox because of mobility or something like that, don't raise the flag. Because the bottom line is, in all cases, with very rare exception, you're going to get at least some junk mail almost every day. So the mail's going to go out even if you don't raise that flag. The minute you raise that flag, somebody knows there's an opportunity.
Yeah. Well, real quickly here, as we're running short on time, you have a financial concerns checklist. Go through that real quickly as things that people can check off.
Okay. Bottom line is, if people are calling and asking you to mail them money, that's a red flag. Don't, if you don't feel confident in doing big decisions by yourself, don't. Get somebody involved. Find a trusted advisor. If you're giving loans or gifts that you can't afford, that's a red flag. If you don't understand something financially related, ask questions. And if you, if bills are getting confusing to you, make sure to get somebody involved. That's something that my company does. Because if you don't pay them, you get yourself into a real mess pretty quickly. And if you feel like somebody's accessing your accounts or money's disappearing, that could be that you're forgetful. Or it really could be that somebody is taking advantage of you, whether it's a friend or a family person. And if somebody's pressuring you to give them money, that is the biggest red flag of all.
Now, you mentioned just a moment ago that that's what you are designed to do, your business, Cary Consulting. Just briefly, what all do you do for folks in helping them financially?
Well, I do a variety of things, but bottom line is I take care of the day in and day out work. It could be as simple as paying some bills for someone and giving them a report that says, yes, this is what your net worth is, because people sometimes feel like they're not going to outlive them. They're going to outlive their money is the way to say it. But I also can, you know, take care of that remote family member who wants to know what's going on. I can send them reports. I also do things like help them get onto Social Security, Medicare. I've helped people get on to pre-existing conditions, medical plans. So a variety of things. Help them get legal aid, you know, to have wills developed and that kind of thing. So it's really a catch-all. I am not a financial planner. I don't do investment activity for people, but I do the day in and day out things to make sure that they're taken care of.
And how can folks get in touch with you if they'd like to find out more about Cary Consulting?
Well, I have a website, and that is Carrick Consulting, C-A-R-R-I-C-K, consulting.com. Or my phone number is 864-915-5505.
And we have been talking with Amy Carrick, founder of Carrick Consulting and a certified senior advisor and dementia specialist. And Amy, thanks for being with us on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm Bert Cron, inviting you to join us again next time for Senior Focus.